his pound look a little different than other people's pounds because it's heavier with all the sticks and the stems.
I'm sure. Like, he be up there. Look, every video he puts up, I be trying to figure out who the hell he's talking about still. But he consistently hits us. You know what I mean?
Like, he's speaking hieroglyphics.
And he sends us these videos. I just want to talk to him because this shit's mad entertaining. Just his whole character and demeanor and stuff. Like, he could be almost like Family Guy. We're talking about Big Unk. He hit me up this week talking about, what are we talking about, and send him the stuff. I never sent it to him. But then again, I'm looking on his page right now, and the fact that it's 8 in the morning, and it says yesterday, I know he's not up.
Yeah, we both on a time crunch. That sounds like it can go either way. It might take up a whole, you know what I mean?
One job.
We can call him on a different
side. Are you hurrying me up right now?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Damn, I misread that.
I thought it sounded like I was hurrying you up.
Yeah, because I was like, yeah, press the play button. You know what to do. Like,
you said we on the same time crunch.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing all that right now.
That's what I'm saying.
He could be like our Family Guy, Ollie Williams. Like, Ollie, what's it going to happen? It's going to rain.
Right. It's raining sideways. It didn't rain sideways yesterday.
Now,
it was fucking hot.
Yeah, it was bad. I was outside the whole time.
I was outside all day yesterday running errands, right?
Mm.
And
did you put on sunscreen?
I should have. I didn't think I was going to be at... No, I was outside. I was going in and out of stores and stuff, but there was one... I was making my rant around the city just to back... I was giving her some me time. So I took the kids. I said, I got a bunch of stuff we got to do.
That's serious me time.
Let's go. And the whole time I didn't need to do it because reading's fundamental because my eyes and whatever. When Debo threw the thing in the chat about impromptu thing, Liberty Station, I thought he was talking about today. And I was like, who's going to do that during football Sunday?
Yeah.
So I brushed it off. And then everybody I was talking to yesterday said, now I'm going to the park. And I was like, I'm fucking stupid. I could have just took the kids there for a few hours and my whole day would have been fine.
Yeah, Liberty Station has a full park.
But instead, I took them around running errands to stores and stuff and they were just acting an ass the whole day.
Mm.
But one of the stops...
So you see why she needed a break.
No, I'm not disputing that. But one of the stops was I took all the recycling to the place, right? But because I was out in the city, I was like, I need to know where to go, right? So I took it on my way back from Mission Valley, and I stopped off Home Avenue.
Mm.
And this is the most popping recycling shit I've ever been to.
Completely different. Why didn't you go to the one up here on the hill?
It depended where I was going, in the city. So I just said, and I found one, and I was like, ooh. I went up in there, right? It was popping. But me, I didn't have
much. You can tell he for the people. Some white folks is not stopping off on Home Avenue.
I knew where it was at. So I've been, so I'm like, all right. But man, everybody there, right? Like, and it's at least 2 degrees hotter there than it is like anywhere else.
It's a pit.
Like Southeast, just maybe because it's so compacted or impacted, like it's hotter right there, like by a couple degrees. And the clientele that goes
a lot of old concrete
that doesn't reflect the heat too much. Yeah. But these are the clientele that goes there. They're the ones that like strap up like carts and bikes with mountains of bags. And so you go there, and I'm like, all right, stay in the car real quick. I'm only going to be 5 minutes. I separate my shit, right?
Just you.
Just me. Separate my shit, bottles, cans, plastic. I go up there in the trash cans,
right? Separated by price on the...
I separated by the type, fool. So there's this one lady in front of me. She gets her shit weighed. She goes, right? The dude that's doing the weighing, he seems he's moving. Cool. Actually, no, there had to be a few people ahead of me because I was there. I was waiting for a minute. And then I finally, they saw me waiting. And then as soon as I pull up, they got to be in the baskets. They can't be in trash cans. I said, dog, are you serious? Then I look to the side because it's all chaotic. There's a whole nother line
waiting
of people. And then one dude just looks at me and goes, like, you're gonna be behind me.
Like,
I'm
here,
like,
sir.
Dog, are you kidding me? And the thing is, they're all waiting for baskets because there's a few of these Korean ladies that took up all the baskets because they had 100,000 trash bags.
Mm.
So they're all waiting in line for baskets. They haven't
seen so freaking cheap. You know they about
they
that
haven't
paper.
Even separated their shit yet because they're waiting on baskets. So now.
Oh, but you're ahead of the game now.
Hindsight, no, I'm not.
You already separated.
No, they're separated in, but it doesn't matter because now I have to wait for them to get baskets, and then there's no baskets.
If y'all
now
can't
I gotta
check
wait for them.
He still ain't over.
I'm not over. Now they gotta separate this shit, and so I was there for like half an hour in like 98 degree weather.
Oh,
with no
hit 98.
It was 98.
It was definitely hotter yesterday than it was last week.
And then so I finally get separated, but I can see the car. I can see the kids. And then I get in. Zeke's like, "Dad, I'm sweating." I said, "Yeah, we are." Finally, I get back down. And then I go into the helicut, like way inland, like more inland than me, to go pick up these succulents because I got to finish the yard.
Mm.
And then G fell asleep.
You chose the hottest part of the year to do it? You had all
No, I got like a month left before I'm going to start getting fined by the HOA. I got to finish the yard.
I know. You chose the hottest week to do it, though.
No, nah, I just had to grab him. I wasn't going to do it. After what it felt, I was like, I just need to pick him up. It's one of our whatever.
Set him outside real quick.
Yeah, man. It was just, they were doing too much. And then, it was hot. I'm not going to talk about the whole day because some regular dad shit. But yeah, I almost didn't. Yeah, speaking of that, I almost didn't make it here this morning on time.
You didn't make it on time, and I didn't either, but that's fine.
No, but I mean, I woke up.
The concept was that we at least start by 8:30.
I woke up. G said, "Dad, I need some new underwear." So I know what that means. Peed himself.
Right.
Cool. Whatever. Go get in the shower. And for as smart as he is, because we had a little parent-teacher conference, and he's like killing the game. I know he picks up shit real quick. That's why if he's getting bored, and he got to like switch his mind from thing to thing, because he already picks it up, and he's bored of it.
Yeah.
But trying to direct him to get in the shower by himself, and he just like telling me no, and just what? Like, he asks you a question and does not listen for an answer. He just goes, what? But I know you hear me.
My dad does that as a grown man.
It's so fucking annoying. Trying to get him a shower, right? So we get him out the shower, boom. She goes to get him out of the shower. She like kicks the door. Now her foot's bleeding. She's on the ground. Now, this is all like a 20-minute span. Oh my god, she's being dramatic, right?
I gotta go. Your toe hurts.
I gotta go. I know. I'm not saying Harlem Nights? No, she started bleeding. She started bleeding, right? So I get the the first aid kit, bandage her up. While I'm doing that, I hear Zeke shuffling, and I'm looking at him.
Like he's Stewie having, Griffin,
and I see his pants. I said, "Did you pee pee yourself?" And he's just like, "Yup." He disappears. I think he's going to the other bathroom, to his bathroom.
You think that?
I think so. He that's where he went. Oh, okay. He starts coming back. Now he's shuffling with his pants at his ankles, even more wet. And I'm like, "Dog, what did you do?" So he made it to the bathroom and just said, "Nah, I'm gonna pee on the floor with all my shit." And then because they were at his ankles soaking wet, he drags the pee from that bathroom all the way across the loft. All the way through our bathroom, and I'm just like, "All right, man, I'm not gonna make it by 8." So now I gotta go clean this up, and this is all in a 20-minute span. And this is like Happy Sunday. This is what we gonna do when we play. This is what we gonna do when we play at 10.
Let's take your mind off of it.
All right, man, I'm done.
Press play.
Okay. No, I'm not done. Matter of fact.
Oh man. Yes, you're in the mood with DJ Normal Ass Carl.
This is Quiet Storm right here.
I want to welcome you guys to the Grown Folks Podcast Network. You Wasn't Outside Podcast. You could be at your mama's house, your auntie's house, your grandmama's house. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Thank you. Now groove out to these groovy tunes.
Take that, Page Master. We matched it.
I thought you was about to rap.
Nah, yeah.
Came in like Ghostface.
Ghostface would rap over this. No drum. Someone did rap over this. I was gonna DJ this part in, but then I was like, "Nah, I'm not doing it. Come back to the part that I originally wanted to do." So the song, if you're picking it up in the background, you're not gonna get that one. Corey played you. I ain't even move on.
I need you to hate. So I can use your faint energy. You know? I won't burn unless you're there. Feel it. Hey. America got a thing for this gangsta shit. They love me. Black Chuckers, Black Scully, leather Pele Pele. I take spit over rainbow shit. I'm a fan who got that silver duct tape on my tray handle. The women in my life.
Welcome to US and Outside Podcast episode.
Bitch, look at me. 53. This is the life I chose. Niggas around me so cold. Man, my heart gun froze. I build an empire on a load. And ox don't know I'm the weatherman. I take that cocoa leaf and make that snow. Sit back, watch it turn the dough. Watch it go out the dough. O after O, you know. Homie, I'm just triple beam. Dreaming, niggas be scheming. I finna live the good life. The fiends are just feeding. Conceal my weapon nice and neat so you can't see. The penitentiary is definitely out the question for me. I want to find the demons in my life, so I hustle. Nigga, you get in my way while I'm trying to get mine.
Take it away.
And I'll buck you. I don't care who you run with or where you from. Nigga, fuck you. Fuck you. I want to find the demons in my life, so I hustle.
It's hard being hot in these streets. Pass me that Dutch, sir. It's hard being, you know, hard fire in these streets, man. Who needs a Pagemaster story when you out here giving out real artist reviews, giving people what they want, the content, getting a weekend set up right? You looking at Southeast number one podcast. I got to start there.
Can we confirm that?
Yeah. We're the only podcast in the Southeast, probably.
that would make it a true statement.
We are the only podcast in the Southeast, baby. Right. You already know, man. We out here in the place making it safe. I can keep coming up with these corny-ass DJ lines. You know, they always come up with something crazy, man. We heard a lot about you, about me. Let's see.
Did we?
I wish I would come in here with some elaborate stories like you, but... I should be mad boring. I ain't even front. Just go to work.
Hey, like, you want to know some shit that happened at work
no.
a couple weeks ago?
You better hold off real quick.
All right.
Save that for the middle of the episode. What else is happening? What's on the horizon of greatness coming your way?
Bingo. And,
well, I'm babysitting the dog. That's not, people don't care about all that. Yeah, that is true. His name is Trax, but, like, my daughter refuses to call him Trax. So, like, she came to the house on Thursday and was like, oh, we got a new dog. His name is Bingo. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, and then for the life of me, it didn't hit me.
You didn't
me.
Know why she was calling him Bingo?
And then it hit me, like, 2 days later. It was like, the song is Bingo.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, the TV shape our youth, man. That's what it comes down to. All right, man. You in the mix with...
Namaz Carter. And Namaz Carter.
I don't want to be a name.
And Namaz Carter. And
Just Lex, Just Lex, Just Lex. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most normal ass Carl. To my front, I have my man at Just Lex. And we just going to get right into the shits. Random shit to fill in time. You ever seen a Copperfit commercial?
I'm sure I have.
For those of you guys that don't know what a Copperfit is, it's the sports athletic brand, but the TV infomercial version of it. So Brett Favre used to be in the old Copperfit commercials wearing a wristband, wearing Wranglers, throwing passes out to random dudes at a park, right? So I was cool with that, right? And that was about, you know, 10 years ago, right? It was around the time he, like, you know, retired for the second time, right? And then... they started coming out with knee braces, right? They took the cake today or last night, right? I don't know why.
They were trying to get Mr. David the fuck out of here.
What's Mr. David?
He's usually doing the braces, right? Ain't that Mr. David?
That's you wasn't outside. Shit, you wasn't outside. We could have wrote that down then. Could have put this in there. But, you know, 2010, we was outside by then, so I didn't put it there. They make these gloves now, right? And it's like they're advertising, like, my man, like, in a big rig. Wearing the gloves for, you know, extreme compression, and it feels great. And then they had a lady wearing it just texting. Right?
Oh, yeah, probably a sedentary lifestyle, typing on the computer.
For typing on the computer.
Carpal tunnel's real, man.
But here's the kicker that got me, right? Dude was wearing a set of compression gloves, then put on some gardening gloves. And I was like, yo, isn't the... exactly, you know where I'm getting that at. is it the purpose of a compression glove, like, to compress and also add protection? Why are they putting this shit out here on TV, man?
Are they full gloves or are they like the glove, the finger stick out? Oh, yeah. That's if you're gardening, you need the extra protection.
I've never seen any. The only people I see that wear extra protection are maybe like the Filipino population when they go out walking and stuff like that. Oh, shit. We ran into something. I'm done with Copperfit.
Okay, yeah. You're really excited right now.
Have you ever been in the mall early in the morning before it opens?
When they walking around? I'm about to be one of them. Go get my steps in. Fab. It's nice and cool.
Do they still do that now?
I ain't been in the mall that early.
I don't know. You got some Jordans
now.
I used to work there.
You had to go get some shit. Nah. I used to work at the mall.
I've been there that early plenty of times. And just seen them out
there. They got their windbreakers out.
Maybe out there. How far is that? That's probably a mile, huh?
If they walk in a circle?
Yeah.
Upstairs? No. Yeah, it's close.
It's probably a half a mile.
They're waiting for hot dog on a stick to open so they can get some cherry limeade.
Is that their thing?
I don't know. I'm just...
Dad and, like, they do the little dancing at night. Like the dance studio. Like, I've
at
seen
the mall?
Them. Yeah, they'll line dance. No. In my office, they'll do it, right? And then they'll do it like in the
Oh, they do that at lunch. They got the VHS tape. What's my man's name?
Oh.
Bruh. You can do it.
I'm trying to tell you, man. Like,
Tybo.
And I'm not saying this like to be racist. There's just certain groups of people that do certain things. You know what I mean? That's just their number one gig. Like, white soccer moms like to get together and talk shit, you know, because they have nothing else to talk about over coffee with the kids and stuff like that.
A lot of people like to get together and talk shit. Isn't that what we're doing?
During the week. My bad.
Oh.
During the week. A lot of people got to go to work during the week. Okay. We're not afforded that luxury. So, all right, I'm done with the copper fit. We're good on that. You're not a male child, and I don't even remember why the hell I put this there.
J. Cole?
Oh, here's an introspective one. You probably put this one there. What things have you sacrificed to get here? Sounds like I did it then. I could tell by your reaction in your face. To this point in life, right? Have you looked back and said to yourself, like, ah, I remember that and I remember that, right?
I mean,
I'll give you a good.
Specifically, like during college, I didn't do like the college life like you see on the movies.
What do you mean?
Like, I wasn't out like frat parties or even parties like that.
Did you know people in frats?
No.
Hmm.
The state didn't really have the frats that I, for the people I'd probably know.
But you, they do, but I mean,
it wasn't like as out there. I've been to a couple of their frat parties, but I'm saying like, I didn't go like, okay, I'm in between classes, I'm mingling, I'm doing this and that. Oh, we got this party night. Well, you know, cause I didn't live in the dorms cause I was at home.
Right.
But it's like, nah, I went to school. During my classes, I made sure my work was done because I knew I had to work the late shift. I went to work, closed up, went home, went to sleep, did it all over again.
This is why you are why you are now.
You're hardened. This is why I don't have no college debt.
You're hardened.
I'm numb.
That's trash when it's like, he's right, but damn, he had fun while he was there?
I had plenty of fun because I didn't sleep. And I was doing, I did a bunch of shit. I know what I'm saying makes it sound like it was just real. I had a routine. But I also didn't have a routine.
What was the maturing factor for you?
The maturing factor?
Yeah.
Because the first day of ninth grade.
No, my mom said. You're going too far back.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you how this happened. The first day of ninth grade.
It starts that far back?
Oh, it starts before that. But I'm just saying specifically, the first day of ninth grade.
He's just saying for the sake of time. All right.
My mom said, hey, you might be thinking about college, right? And I was like, not really, not yet. Well, just to let you know, you got to pay for that shit yourself, right? So you out here, because I'm playing basketball. I'm officially playing basketball now. I'm not just a street legend no more. So they're like, hey, you know, so you're going to have to work for it. And I'm like, all right. So she's thinking, I'm like, all right, pretty sure. Like at that point, I thought I was good enough. Like, oh, maybe I can. But I'm like, in the back of my mind, I don't know if I'm D1 scholarship full ride good enough. But anyway, I played basketball through high school. Didn't go exactly the way I needed it to go. It's where I was like, I got a couple offers early, but I was like, nah, I ain't going there. I'm not going there. I know what's going to happen. Because my dream school at that point was UCLA, right? And obviously I was a 4.0 student, but you know, throughout the years, it got harder to get into schools. Like the GPA kept going up. And there was a certain point where it hit 4.2 and I wasn't taking the, what do they call those? The classes where you get the extra credit, the AP classes. I wasn't doing none of that. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to UCLA. I'm going to go to state. I'm going to stay at home. I know how this is going to go. So I remember my mom said, so I'm like, all right, so now I'm getting closer.
But you're too deep in the match.
Something happened with me and my coach to where he was like doing something. Like he was trying to fill me out because I didn't play summer ball once. And at that point in my mind, I said, ooh, no, I'm not doing that. So I'm going to go get a job. So I skipped my senior year of basketball.
Right. But you get a job and you were still doing the fuck shit or whatever in college.
Yeah.
Right. So when did the stuff in college get you to where you're at right now, sitting on the couch? Matter of fact, Jeff was gracious enough to post a nice photo of you back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and that looked like the most mature you've ever been at that point. Now you look like you
had my comb over.
You had the little beard on there, and then you had like the dad construction shirt on. It wasn't no construction shirt; it was just a throwaway that you had on more than anything. But you sitting on the couch playing with kid toys, and I was like, man, total 180 from how he was when he first. You don't care to the
180
game.
At all.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you mean like when I first,
like between college and sitting on that couch.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Something matured you to be like, all right, I'm not going out tonight. I'm not hanging out with these people. I'm tired of that shit. Like, what was it?
I wouldn't say I'm even tired of that shit. I just think the things I was doing back, I was still doing. The thing is, I was utilizing more time back then. I was living a double life, if you will. I was being very responsible and then very irresponsible at the same time.
Okay.
So as time, but the things I was doing to be responsible, I've been doing that the whole time. So I guess maybe as time goes on, I started being less irresponsible because when she came into my life, I'm like, all right, now I'm kind
of. What age is this?
Like 22-ish.
Okay.
So now it's like, okay, now I'm thinking for two.
Okay.
And there's certain things that I'm doing or whatever that are affecting both of us, but we're trending upwards as, you know, whatever. And also, I also thought I was going to be a lot further along at 22. And then, you know, mental health has a lot to do with it. And then, I mean, as more and more bills start getting in your name, the less and less you out here fucking around. And
for the common man, yes.
And then the kids come around, you're like, all right, now I'm thinking for three. And this is the third one's a big one. Now it's like her, like she's still her own person. She can still go out and do what she need to do. But the kid ain't got nothing.
Right.
So now it's like, all right. So less fuckery. Oh, thinking for four. Less fuckery. And
thinking for five.
Less fuckery.
Right, let me knock
That's
on this
all
one.
It is less fuckery.
Where I got to this, too, for me was that, you know, in college, I had kind of like a similar path, you know what I mean? And in high school, you know, I had the most fun in my life in high school, and right when I got, no, it's just dead ass.
Sounds super washed up.
In high school, no, and then right when I graduated from college and came back here, that was probably, those two events kind of really shaped my adult maturation. Right. In terms of like getting burnt out of those things, I'm very appreciative that like I lived a life that like had me acting crazy and shit like that in high school.
You have to. Otherwise, you're not going to be as far along as you are now because you're still trying to fulfill that part of your life.
I look at people that get married in their early 20s like, God dang, why do you do it?
They didn't get the whole phase out the way.
I was looking at a girl's page yesterday and her husband have probably been married for like 3 years and they still don't have any kids. I don't know if they're trying or not, but they're traveling a lot. And I was like, oh, that's pretty dope. Like you get like some time to like really enjoy you guys. I think like my circumstance is a little different because like we had a child early, but I mean, she's older than me. I was already, you know, over the hump, as you can say, about going out anyway. So it's like, I don't need that now. Like, there was a time period I feel like even if I were to get back in the game, I would be a fraction of what I was, like, right. Maybe 24 to 30.
But now the fun parts of your life now, they're different things. I don't really want to. I mean, I didn't really want to go out back then.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. But now you're hitting the nail on the head.
You're talking about like the group chat barbecue. that's the type of shit, like, all right, this is what I'm trying to do.
That was a great time. We should have talked about that.
We can talk about it. Right. Did you see my segue?
That was great.
This is me segueing.
We're not segueing. We're just connecting the dots. All right, well. Because I had another question for you, but that was a great time because we played, shout out to Carson Reveal.
Because you said you want to come back.
We're going to double back. This is a pivot. We're going to come right back on the foot. Great analogy. Oh, man. You don't love when I have self-love.
I'm sorry, you about to give me one or you already do?
No, no. But see, so then my idea of fun now is like something like that. You're right. Absolutely. But if I was a single dude, not in your household, but like if I had a friend like you, right? And they had stuff like that, I would go to there because chances are you might like have the one stowaway chick that's out there, you know, hanging out or whatever, and you have a good end of talking to them.
The stowaway chick.
You know, she's a straggling friend that they invited on a whim, and you know, she just so happens to make it this party. You've already thought about four or five people in your head that are like
but
that.
But I'm trying to think of like, is that who you want though? The one that's
you don't know.
Oh, maybe I don't know.
In your 30s,
I don't know.
In your 30s, it's like opening a Cracker Jack box. You don't know what prize you're gonna get with anything. Whether it's like at the bar, I also learned that too. Most people that go out on a Friday or Saturday night are trying to escape something. Like we're all trying to escape whatever the reality is.
Trying to escape the grind of the week.
When two people tell you that they met in the club, I'm like, oh man, I gotta watch how this like matures over time because you guys met in a place where you're just trying to get a release and it's not the same. My mom told me the other day she met my dad outside of a club.
And her
car broke down. Mm. The club names that they were bringing up from like that time period. Dog have ceased to exist a long time.
Studio 26.
He said VFW. He said, oh, we used to go to the VFW. I was like, yo, that's crazy to be able to like say that in a full sentence. That's a long name. Y'all trying to go to the VFW? I think it's like a veteran something. It's like the, you know, 94th and Aero Squadron, like the lesser version. Yeah.
Veterans Fun.
So my dad was like, yeah, your mom, she didn't know how to fix the car. She in the car like, you a goddamn lie. You know, I know how to fix the car. You was out there
she
staring
broke down
at
in front of the club trying to catch a man.
And he was like, I told her, you know, I'll give you a ride if you need one, baby. Mm. She's like, no, you didn't. I wasn't taking your shit. And I sit here. But you don't want to meet people in those spaces. I like meeting chicks off a referral. Like in my past life.
I think we had this written down a while ago. Like, if you're not outside, where are you meeting people? Or if you're not on the internet, where are you meeting people?
You got to be...
Through referrals,
but you got to be...
Or you got to be outside.
You got to be... Yes, you have to be active, right?
But there's not as many people as active. That's what I'm saying. Because let's say someone like, I'm not active, but I'm not online. I have to rely on referrals, like 100%.
A new phenomenon that I've realized too, though, I know a lot more women that are single than I do men that are single.
I think one of the variables to that is women are a lot more independent than they used to be. And people are getting married later and later in life. They're more career oriented.
I disagree with that.
You disagree that they're more independent than they used to be?
I feel like men are not as...
They ain't been able...
As a collective, I don't feel like men are as aggressive as they were like in other generations because of said movements like Me Too and all that other stuff.
No, a woman couldn't have a credit card like 50 years ago.
I'm okay with that. Right?
What do you mean?
Wait, I'm okay with accepting that reality. Let me, because I know you. I'm glad you asked this time. Yeah.
Not me.
Because I had to re-listen last week. I was like, yo, he got me fucked up right now. Like, I know what I was trying to say.
Right, but do they know what you're trying to say?
I'm glad
if
you clarified.
If I said they couldn't have a credit card for the music, you said I'm okay with that.
You did what a B/A mic is supposed to do, which
don't
is ask me a question.
Don't do that.
I gave you an A on a day I'm not here. I was going to invite Zoe too to see how that dynamic was going to be. He hit me, but when I told him we was up at 8, he's like, yeah, I'll hit you sometime tomorrow. You know, at some point I'll be over there. So, but yeah, I think that like men are not as aggressive as they were previously.
Okay.
Like there's a timidness, right?
I think my reason's more.
And so with that being said, and women are a little bit more aggressive in terms, like you said, they're a little bit more aggressive like men are. And they have their body, their choice and everything. But the one thing that they don't have or that they won't like succumb to is initiating contact for the most part. Not all women will initiate contact with a man. They, you know, would probably stand there, look pretty and hope somebody notices them.
Okay.
That's just my point on that.
I think I won that one.
If your son decided, okay, pivoting back onto the right foot, if your son didn't decide to go to college, do you feel like that would have that would affect his socialization as a young adult?
Probably not. You know him. He's one of the most social people in this world.
Would you be fine if they decided that they didn't want to go to college?
Yeah, if he has a plan.
Would mom be okay?
If he has a plan, she'd get there. She'd be okay. No, she would have to be. She'd be a hypocrite.
She would have to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Why would she be a hypocrite? Because she never went?
She never went.
That doesn't make her a hypocrite.
It does. The
opportunity just never knocked on her door at
okay,
that time.
Okay, then if he... Then
did she apply and get in? There's a difference. Did she apply?
She worked. She went back to a vocational college a little later, but she didn't go like to... You know what I mean? Like the normal, oh, I'm over here doing this and that.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about her story without her here.
Right, I'm not going to say no more than that, but what I'm saying is like, yeah, you can't be mad if... Now, if he doesn't have a plan, that's what I'm laying out. He has to have a plan and understand how to execute it with me. It might take a little bit more convincing with her because obviously, you would want your kids to go at least one step further than you did in all levels of life. So if you just out here doing the normal, whatever, if your mindset's like the normal, you know, go to school, get a job, blah, blah, blah. If that's how you want to be, then yeah, you need to go to school. And if that's how I see you moving and you say, I'm not going to school, you better have a very good reason because I'm trying to set you up to where you gonna be good. But if I see the way your mind is thinking and you on a different level or you just move different and I can see it happening, which I hope happens, you can choose to go to school to still, because I went to school. School didn't do much for me other than, like I said, I wasn't as social there. School taught me to critically think better. It got me around.
Agreed.
I was already around a bunch of people. I was already good socially. I can get along with a whole bunch of different type of people. I didn't need school for that. It taught me, it opened my horizons to critically think, and it opened me to certain subjects I never thought I'd be into, to where I was like, oh no, I'm into this. And so I went a little further with it. But school, no, like the normal, just like, no, I need school. Because we know a bunch of people that are borderline dumb with that piece of paper.
Mm.
And a lot of people that don't have it that are brilliant.
It just says that you did something, you went
right.
through
no,
something.
Yeah. It shows jobs that you're committed enough to at least finish. And I get that part. But if he were to come at me and he had a plan and it sounded like, hey, just judging by who you are and the person you become, I can support this. Maybe she'd get there is a good question for her. I feel like she would be on the same page.
About that. You can ask her. The reason why I say that is because I feel like people that like go through something, right? Athletes, us as, you know, college graduates and stuff like that, we become more impartial to things the more we move up in life, right? As where you may be passive of him having a plan and I would be passive of my kids having a plan. My mom wasn't like that. She's exactly. like, you're going to go to college.
Because
your mom may have not have been like that, but there are people around you whose parents were like that. And you're like, oh, I want to probably do what they're doing so that, you know, it furthers my life, or I have the common sense to know that this is a fast way to do it. But I know that it costs some money. So how can I do it, you know, with the least expense possible?
Right. It's a generational thing, but also for good reason, because school meant so much more to their generation. And we've talked about this before, you know. A college degree now is equivalent to the high school diploma. Your master's is now equivalent to the bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So by the time our kids get there, it's probably going to be less and less necessary because the education system's already in need of reform for the most part.
Even jobs.
But I'm saying...
Because a lot of jobs ask me for, like, my degree and don't know what it is. Like, I have a master's degree in social work, right?
But we also work for... We work for like some more, what's the word I'm looking for? We work for more like formal.
But that's us, right?
Like old school. Like their generation, there's tons of different new types of jobs going on if they get into that world.
No, but they've made that for my profession, right? There's a bunch, like there's hospital jobs, school jobs.
My job needed a degree too.
But
they don't care what it's in.
But they don't. But when I've tested the field in other areas before. I've had plenty of like interviews and I've worked two jobs, you know, on my come up to, you know, get in this house. And they don't know what my degree entails. They just They called it MSW. Oh, do you have an MSW degree? Yeah. Yeah. But like half the shit y'all talk about and the processes y'all do, they don't even coincide with the stuff I learned in school.
Right.
So that lets me know that you're just putting this in the job description to weed out certain people, but you keep asking me for this. What you're actually looking for is somebody who's clinically got their license and stuff like that. And some of these spaces, some of the other job spaces get it right and know that, like, oh, you need to get your license, clinical social worker and all this other shit. I don't never want to do that. It's never been my forte. It's the closest I get to therapy. But what I'm saying is that those prerequisites that they have for these jobs and stuff like that, it's almost like meaningless just to weed people out, you know, and that's the best way that I could put it at. Because I've asked people like, well, why don't you apply for different jobs? Or why don't you apply for this? Or why don't you apply for that? And it's like, oh, I don't meet the qualifications, whatever. And what's the qualifications for it? Oh, you need this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, that's stupid.
But that's exactly. But that's depending on the job you're looking at. Some jobs do things a little untraditional, and they're more successful. They have less turnover. You know what I mean? And because a lot of those people can bring something to the table. And some of these other jobs, they use those old measuring sticks to weed people out. And they weed a lot of good people out, and a lot of people that do meet the qualifications aren't really qualified for the job.
Mm.
And then that's why there's a high turnover rate to some of these places, or some of these places don't succeed long term because they can't get the right group of people in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone like Tesla or a lot of those tech jobs, they have certain qualifications that you need because of the type of work it is. Like, I need my doctor to have all those pieces of paper, all those certifications.
You want your doctor to cheat on his test?
I need them to have it. I also want them to be, I'm saying, there's certain jobs you need the school no matter what.
Yeah, that's the one. That like when people complain about being, I'm like, look, I want my doctor to go through the ringer.
But there's a lot of people that, you know, we talk about all the men who built America, not built America, but like the people, you know, all those entrepreneurs that dropped out of college, dropped out of school, like you don't necessarily need it. Because a lot of times you go to those regular schools and they just teach you how to be like a bean counter, be one of the worker bees. And that's fine. It just depends on what you're trying to do.
My last point on this, and then we'll switch topics, is that I feel that the education system does need to reform. And we always say that. Politics, they say that. You want to talk about, you know, political shit today, but I want to outline
I just wanted to tell people to vote. I didn't want to get into it. I just wanted
Same thing. We know you drink the Gavin tea. When they send me a text message, I'm like, bro, he got it. I know him. I don't know the other people. Don't do it. We'll save it. My point was, is that the reform, in my opinion, should be that we should start tailor-making people for jobs early. Like Job Corps and all those other places have a good format.
Yeah.
But make it broad across all other like professions and stuff like that. You want to
lean more vocationally.
Yeah, like start doing that shit like in high school or whatever and like, you know, grooming people to be attorneys and get them ready for the bar. I feel like my brain didn't fully develop until 25, but you're putting me in somebody's college at 18 anyway. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't sit here and say, oh, it's too young for them to do that, blah, 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 when I'm sitting there with grown men and grown-ass people at 18 in a college, you know, classroom. We can, you know, tailor-make people to be doctors early, 18, 19, study for that. Most of the time, we talked about this earlier, I'm not going to get on it too long, but most of the time, you take all those prereqs and shit like that just so that they can get you to spend more money and spend more time.
But I think in order to do something like a doctor or a lawyer, you have to know you want to do it early to make sure that
half
you
can. People don't like doing the job they do right now. You love doing your job, or would you rather get paid for doing something?
But what
else?
I'm saying is a lot of you have to be like almost spotless in school to where to be in that mind frame. Like if I want to be a doctor, I need to be good the whole. You have to kind of know early.
That's where you're misreading me. Okay, the whole class doesn't have to do it. Fail at being a doctor, then look, we'll try something else for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we could start. Fam, you know how much physiology shit I look up now versus like when I like took it in like as an elective in high school?
Because your knees didn't hurt in high school.
Yeah, but exactly. But here, bro, I have the capacity of understanding.
I ain't seen this mole before.
Yeah.
Let me go look at this. WebMD's.
Man.
Cookie bar.
It's way more efficient than using Mayo Clinic. I can't stand them. Sometimes they subscribe to like different shit. This Week in Hip Hop. So a question was posed to me yesterday, and you guys decided to look over it. Now I know how your day went. That actually makes sense why you didn't get a chance to do it. So we were talking about the Drake album and Kanye album the last few weeks, man, and it didn't hit me, man, until my boy asked me yesterday, and he was basically asking me, do I think that Jay was talking? That was disrespectful. I'm sure the listeners really appreciated
that. It was 8 in the morning, y'all.
Right, damn, we're wasting this man's time. So Jay-Z had a...
This question's probably going to waste my time, but yeah.
You think so?
I don't know. What's the question?
The question is that on Love All with Jay-Z, right?
Okay,
Jay has a, he has a verse. Let me skip to it.
Right. I gotta hear the whole thing.
Niggas want to kill me and y'all still with them. Nigga, y'all chill with them. And y'all wonder why we not friends. Best thing I could do is not build with you. When I could destroy you, that takes some fucking discipline. Mm. I could send a team to come drill you. Right, I got a billion or two, and I know where the fuck you live. Niggas gotta chill with talking gangster. You should just thank us. Humble yourselves a little bit. This ain't the same Sean that you knew once. I don't shine shoes, huh? This ain't
what you. So now listening to this, that verse,
there's
right?
Still more?
There's more.
Y'all gotta do something. Yeah. Only thing we expect now is violence. Anything besides this, we playing violence.
So I gave him some, I gave Jay some bullshit, you know, review last week. And then my boy hit me and he made me put respect on Jay's name, right?
Okay.
That verse, if it's where I'm thinking that it's going, right? It's not as bad as I thought it was.
It's not bad because it's cold.
Is he talking about Beans?
No.
That's where I thought he was going at.
No.
Because, you know, Beanie Siegel.
That sounds more like Dame than Beans. Not that he's talking about either of them, but he's not talking about Beans.
Beans just recently did like a show with Drink Champs in July.
He did.
And Jay is not a timely guy where he's going to give you a response, you know, early. And Dame has had some issues with Hov in recent months also with him trying to get his catalog, you know, back from him and stuff like that. Well, Dame's been saying that for years that they've been having this feud. But the stories are coming out now, you know. And so my question was, was he talking about Beans? You said no, right?
Easy no.
So you think that if anything, it would be Dame?
No, I think it's someone else, but I think it's based on, you know, the popular consensus of, you know, who most people think because of their beef. It's more Dame. I think it's somebody that we don't know or we're not thinking of, but it's more Dame. I would say Dame's name before Beans. I would say Beans 0%. That's what they asked.
Walk me into their beef right now. What's the beef with them? When did it originate? Beanie Siegel. Let me make sure. Some of our, you know, listeners are females. Beanie Siegel and Jay. You know, they used to run together in Rockefeller back in the day.
Women can't love Beans. The reason why this ain't about Beans.
Your
is,
type of women may love Beans.
Because he's talking about shit from way before. Like, this ain't the Sean you used to know on Shining. Like, nah, Beans came a little later than that. Mm. That's one. Two, he's already addressed Beans. They've already squashed that part. Him and, as far as I know,
they're good.
Because I listened to that Drink Champs episode a little recently, and it sounded nothing but respect from Beans.
So nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy.
Okay.
That's why I know that it can't be about him because it has to be more public. But when Beans went to jail, I don't think Hov came to see him.
Mm.
And he was a little upset at that. He got out. The album after jail wasn't really, it didn't have the same punch as he used to.
Didn't have the same push from the label either,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah. And then, like, it started by Beans. Beans was in his feelings. And then he dissed him. And then he started running with 50. You know, 50 loves to take shots at Hov.
Right.
And then...
at everybody.
It kind of went from there. And just Beans wasn't... And the way he kind of described it, too. He's like, I wasn't in the right mind frame. It was kind of all my fault. And then a few years ago, on one of them Made in America, one of them festivals, Jay brought Beans out. And they performed. And it was over.
If, as your friend, if you were in George Bailey... And we didn't come see you. And you were there for probably about 2 or 3 years.
2 or 3 years.
But we checking on your family and shit like that.
You checking on my family.
Yeah, maybe like a text or a phone call.
Are y'all answering phone calls?
Yeah.
Y'all just didn't come see me.
You just didn't come see you. But it's you're locked away with another grown man. You know what I mean? 23 hours a day. Would you have some animosity towards us not coming to see you?
Not if you're doing those other things.
Oh, okay. So basically, like, looking out for you while we gone type of, I mean, while you gone ordeal. I'm just trying to figure out the mind frame of why men would get mad at something like that. That's not a place that I would want to visit.
No, well, yeah, because he only did a year and a day, so that's less than the time you're talking about. And I'm only saying only.
Man, even a year. We could put a year. 300 days.
366. I'm not saying this. I said it like it was come off like that's nothing.
Fam, my probation has only been 2 months in, and I'm like, fam, I can't wait for this to be over with. Probation at work.
I'm like, damn, we only 53 episodes in. I feel like I've been tired. But I don't know. Maybe he wasn't doing any of these other things either. But if you're telling me that you're checking on my family, you know, maybe you put a little bit on the books, you know, you're answering the phone call if I call, that's all I need. It'd be nice to see people, but sometimes, now it's different in their situation, they can kind of get places where they need to. And but you know, sometimes if you want to go see some of your people's in prison, it was like a seven hour drive. Some of these people are way far away from their family.
Yeah, if they upstate.
And another reason is too, is like Beans couldn't let that street mentality go. And Jay was trying to, like, no, I'm a business person now, and I can't have you around. So at his trial, Hov testified, or he spoke for, they like, and you know, they said they were doing like, hey, if he were to be out, would you be like responsible? Would you be okay with like being over him? And he said, nah. And at first,
would you be responsible for me if I was reckless?
It's not even coming. No, but this is what he said. This is where he wasn't at. So it was less about not coming to see him. It was at the trial when they asked him, is he good? Would you be responsible? And he said, no. And he had to kind of, it was kind of tough love. Like, dog, I've been trying to show you. Mm. I'm not trying to change you. I'm trying to show you what's going on and you not listening. So, yes, I love you.
Pagemaster episode.
I've made you I've made you millions of dollars. Mm. I've changed your life. I've shown you the way, but you're not about to drag me down because I got places to be.
You're talking from a place of agreeance.
With Hov?
Yeah.
Beans is there too. Once he got there, they were good.
It take a while to get there.
That was in like 06, 07.
That's some OG grown man shit to be able to do something like that. But that's what I'm saying.
Beans was, he had guns on tour. He was beating people up. Like yeah, on right, he was on tour you. and Hov was still letting it happen. But once this shit happened, Hov was already transitioning. I'm retired, now I'm at Def Jam, I'm running shit, I'm doing this. Now he was I'm a businessman. Like he couldn't afford none of that shit.
Yeah, because as the homie in jail, you're like, yo, look out for me so I can get back to doing what I was doing already anyway.
And Hov was like, I gave you all the game. You've made so much money off me, and you mad at this. And then but like I said, once he matured a little bit, he's like, you know what? I know exactly what he's talking about. And I'm sure you've told people, because I know I've told plenty of people shit and they didn't listen. And years later, they've come back. You know what? You was right. And sometimes you got to push those people away a little bit.
That doubles up a little bit what we were talking about earlier as far as growing up. It's like separating yourself from like bullshit people. You know what I mean?
Hey, you got to.
And that's hard.
That's why your circle's always tightening.
Like in hindsight, it seemed like an easy process, but in a day in and day out thing, nah, it's hard.
Nah, it's hard.
Somebody like, hit you up to come up somewhere and it's like, nah, I can't do it.
I love you, dog, but I can't.
Yeah.
You out here still, I can't do that no more.
Nah, I can't move.
Do this. Yeah. I don't move that way. And as much as I love you, and it sucks too, because a lot of people I grew up with from childhood, you're all not going to grow up going the same ways, the same paths, be the same people.
Mm.
So it's going to be a higher frequency of, or higher probability of like, I'm going to have to cut a few of these people off eventually. And you don't think about that when you're young. It's more in hindsight where you're like, damn, of course I had to cut them off, or we just kind of drifted apart, moved our separate ways because I'm not trying to be like that. And they're not trying to be like me. But we are deterrent to each other's lives in certain aspects where it's like, nah, I got to get some of the toxicity out in one shape, form, or another.
The key thing that I'm picking up from like what we're talking about, like even like connect this conversation with the one we had earlier and, you know, looking at Jay, you got to leave. There's no other solution. Like when I went to college and everything, man, I left home because I knew that if I was here in the element and hanging out with some of my people, I would never.
That's why I didn't go to community college.
Yeah.
My mom was
that's
like,
leaving too.
My mom was like, it'll save you money. But I was like, I know who's going there. And if I stay, it's just going to be high school again. And I'm going to be playing around. And yeah, I might still get A's, but if I'm I ain't trying. But a lot of those people that I'm talking about that went to community college, I mean, they had to, but they went, and it's supposed to be what, like a 2-year program. They were there like 3-4 just playing around. And I'm like, you know, some of them I've talked to recently, like, yo, how'd you get here? I'm like, because when you say, yo, come with me, dog, save a few dollars, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
So I had to make that sacrifice to be like, nah, if I got to walk four. That's why I was taking.
This motherfucker now answers the question the way I wanted him to answer.
I'm like a great comedian. I'm tying it all up. So we can finally.
This was the first answer I wanted from you earlier, man. So we can finally pivot,
but I had to get there.
Yeah.
I got to finally.
Nah, you would never got there without beans.
I'm tired of talking serious. I'm trying to get to some jokes. It's
funny how rap music inspires his life.
I'm tired of talking about, yeah, man. But yeah, how'd you get here? I'm like, yeah, because you was one of the ones that I got to save a few dollars. It's like, I was taking math in senior. I finished math like in 10th grade. I had taken all the math they had already. But I was like, if I don't keep taking it, but when I know I have to take it in college, I'm not going to want to do it or I'm going to be behind.
Right.
So I kept taking math because I knew I had to step right into it. Like, I was thinking further ahead than a lot of people were, I guess, at that mind frame. And not everybody's there yet. But, yeah, just like Beans, he wasn't there yet. But once you get there, you know, if you're real about it, you can go back to that person and be like, I feel you now.
That's the big thing right there.
Because a lot of people don't go back and say that.
A lot of people think that the streets just means that you go out and do mischief. But, I mean, if you got a great OG, man, a great OG would tell you, like, nah, fam, like, what you doing, like, you gonna need that. You know why? Because that OG is, you know, still scrounging up, you know, money to make it by every day.
Especially if you in the same industry.
Yeah.
And they a little older and they was right there, not in the same hit, not in the same streets, maybe not doing all the same things, but they were in there and that lifestyle is to a certain capacity. And now you're trying to do what they're doing now and he's telling you, you need to chill. Even when he brought you up early, you weren't chilling and he was still riding with you. But once you finally got in trouble, he's like, dog, you're not listening. So you go sit down, do this year in a day. I'm not going to be responsible for it. When you come back out, your business still business. We can do that.
It's almost like a parent like that has a, you know, ain't shit child. And it's like, yo, yeah. Like maybe they're doing drugs or something. It's like, this time I'm cutting you off, you know? And that was cool, Jay, to do that, you know, not a father figure, you know, to him or anything like that, but just as a big homie to do that. And that's your relationship because big homie's the only one that got the money to get you out or, you know, has the word to get you out.
At the time, it's like, nah, we brothers and you doing this to me. He's not there yet. You have to get there.
Yeah.
And Jay knew that. So he's like, you'll get there one day, hopefully.
Right.
It just took some years. It took some years. It took a few verses.
It probably took him getting, like, being in that same position of hanging out with them young cats and it's like, yo, I can't keep helping you, bro.
No, the thing is, and this is something. Rick Ross has a new book out and I was listening to his Breakfast Club interview and I liked the way he put it because I knew the concept, but the way he was describing it, I was like, yeah, man, that needs to be talked about more. It's important. The art of embracing like the L. Like sometimes we'll see everybody's results, right? We see like, damn, they got it. They out here. It seems like every move they make is the right move. We're not seeing the L's. It's like Instagram. You don't see no L's on Instagram.
No.
It's just what's going on.
That's why I hate influence.
It's why you hate it, right? But it's important. Well, not even to see the L's. For the person who's trying to climb up and ascend, it's important to embrace the L. If you embrace it correctly, in hindsight, it's not a real L at all. It's a learning experience. Because now when the opportunity presents itself again, you don't make that mistake.
Yeah.
And so if you can get through a bunch of bullshit and a bunch of L's early, then you can ascend a lot faster. I know there's on his way to being a billionaire, Jay lost plenty of money, invested in plenty of bullshit. It's just he rebounded correctly and he's always made other things cool. So where his one, a lot of people that do these businesses that are inventors or whatever, hundreds of failed inventions, hundreds of failed businesses. They only need one to stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it sounded like that was an L on Bean's perspective, and he's finally embraced it, and now it's game to him. It's a game that he's finally soaked up, and that's important. So the main, you know, what I'm trying to say now, to segue, embrace your L's. Don't just look at it. It's not a failure if you keep going.
What that kind of reminds me of, right, Jay being... No, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go the other way. It's better if I ask you. Canelo Alvarez, he has one loss on his record. Who's it to?
I'm not the boxer guy. I don't remember.
Take a wild guess.
Mayweather.
There we go. So when I was in college, there was a young Mexican fighter by the name of Canelo Alvarez that a lot of you guys know about now, right? He's a superstar in boxing, right? He's that guy, right? Especially to the Latino community. When he came up, he was undefeated, right? So it was the whole hype was the next phenom versus the current guy. He was right. Mayweather was in his LeBron stage back then. It was like, we know his greatness. He may not be as flashy and as, you know, fast as he was, you know, maybe 10 years prior, but he's still that guy. And for 12 rounds, we watched him neutralize a kid that had just came out, you know, knocking damn near everybody out, right? And win. Alvarez still thinks he won or whatever, but he went back to the drawing board, re-owned on his skills and stuff like that, and it's taken off since. So to add to your point, right? Let me say it again. To add to your point, because sometimes you be thinking I'm be opposing you. To add to your point, you have to embrace that L because it gives you a lesson on how you're going to move later on. And that's just me taking what you said into another, you know, arena. For lack of a better term, we'll put into another arena and showing it at play. You're right. We do need to start seeing these L's a lot better. And, you know, Beans, you know, he got his he's on the right side of justice. Anyway, next thing up, we got Fresh Prince, 1980. What you got? Introduce 80? It.
Is that what that says?
1990. I was like, damn, he's way off. It's like Will was probably like 10 then. But anyway. Was he born in the 60s?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 20.
He was like 16.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just, you know, debut NBC, big show.
I was today years old, not today, but it was sometime this week, where I found out it stands for National Broadcasting Company.
All right.
Never knew that. NBC.
There we go.
Never cared about the acronym. That show changed the culture. That and Martin, in my opinion. For me.
For you.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx, we go on the run. We go on the run. That one, Jamie Foxx, Martin, hell, you know, even for my parents, I can't say your parents, the Cosbys, you know. No shout out to Bill or nothing like that. I'm not trying to move there, but.
No, Cosbys was a little before my time on that. Well, it was still on when I was like, I just wasn't going to it. I was more of a Family Matters. But Family Matters and Fresh Prince showed me family.
It's crazy you put Family Matters in there.
That's my shit.
Yeah. That's like 80s.
I know, but I was more on that than the Cosbys.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they showed me, because I'm talking about culture-wise, I don't think Jamie Foxx is on that tier. I watched Jamie Foxx faithfully, but it was more different. It was like more of a comedy sitcom.
But it's black.
No, family element to it.
Hold up. It had black ownership in there, though.
It did. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about showing me family. They showed me family in a certain capacity, but I'm talking about the way Family Matters and Fresh Prince was.
But Jamie Foxx is probably a little bit more legit on like what families typically look like, because they're blended, or sometimes you piece together a family. You may not be related by blood, but you have people outside coming in.
No, I know that. Like, but Braxton, I'm saying, and but I already know that.
Yeah,
I'm talking about. I was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Like a cookie cutter. You talking about? Yeah. Okay.
And so, yeah, top. I mean, I've lived a little longer now, but it's the nostalgia purposes. It's probably still top five. For me, Fresh Prince.
If you caught it like this morning before the game started, NFL is back too. Before the game started, you probably watched the full episode. Huh? You leave it on the TV.
Well,
that's what those shows do to me.
At Debo's wedding, in the hotel room, the dude I was splitting the room with, he had it on, and there was a marathon all night. And I'm the type of person that I can't have the TV on something that I want to watch, because then I'll be up.
And even so if you've seen it before, too.
I was drowsy. I've seen it several times all the way through.
But it's like, it's new each time.
But I was like, I don't even need to watch it, because I know what's happening, because I'm trying to fall asleep. But I'll be like, I'm on a pillow, my eyes closed, just giggling and shit. And next thing you know, I look at my phone, it's fucking 5 in the morning. I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
You think it's not my big day. But yeah, same shit. With those shows, like, oh, I got to finish it.
Oh, man. All right, man. Read them and weep.
This week.
Brought to you by Just Lex. Quick story. As soon as you start putting shit like in the notes, numbers been going way up.
Because my content better than yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
You don't be letting me talk.
I'm not mad at it.
You be trying to transition too quick sometimes.
Hell nah, man. You be going off on a long tangent. You don't be seeing the time. I got the time in front of me.
No, I get the time, but I'm saying like.
It's cool.
We do a weekly show, man.
But when I cut in on you and you like react in this fashion, shit's entertaining. It's like the heart emoji on my head. Like it's entertainment.
That wasn't entertaining.
Yeah, people got to hear us badger a little bit. You know, you got to have some type of little trail in there. I don't honestly feel like you talk too much. I listen most of the time.
That's why we need to talk more about hip hop because a lot of the serious stuff, we agree on most of it for the most part.
But I get you to pull back differently than like just breezing through it. I got to antagonize you for you to be like, all right, now readjust myself, get in my bag. Quick story, my ex-wife cheated on me and I was at work when I found out. I called her and cussed her out and made a ton of threats that the police will arrest me for. He didn't put that in there, but yo, don't leave no evidence, fam, if you're going to act crazy. I didn't 100%.
Did you not read it before?
I didn't want some of it. I didn't 100% mean it, but I was emotional and in the moment. Mm-hmm. But she really believed I would kill her. So she left the house and hid in our neighbor's basement. Turns out that our neighbor was a serial kidnapper. And when she went to hide in the basement, he kept her there for 3 years. God damn.
It's wild, right?
I thought she had ran off with her lover, so I made a missing persons report and went on with my life. That's crazy. Didn't call her mom or nothing, right? I was standing out when the victims were pulled from his basement. They pulled 3 girls out, and lastly, they pulled out my cheating ex-wife. Our children were finally happy to see their mom after 3 years. I never laughed so hard in my life. I'm going to call bullshit on the story, but great creativity, right? Because I got to see it. I got
to
see it.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's harder to make up. That shit, see.
There's some good liars out here, man. I'll tell you that.
A man
right there.
Scolded.
Hey, you, look. It's funny. You might, you.
He was so mad.
Nah, because I'm not going to do that. Because if I never say it, you're going to try to hold it to me. But that overreaction was wild to me. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be out here blowing up on the phone and all that other shit, man.
I take it. He took it a step further from, all right.
And the fact that you throw the punchline that the kids is going to, you know.
No, I'm saying, all right, say.
Miss the mom and all this other shit. Like, bro, why you put that in there?
Let me ask you this. You ever broke up with a girl and you do that checkup, you know. And every man might be different. Some might be a month, a few months. Some might be a few days, a few weeks. But you got to check up on them. You kind of do that. You're scrolling. What's going on?
I was about
to
lie and say I've never done that, but
what's going on with them? Because you want to make sure you're doing better than them, right?
I'm different. I'd rather see that you're doing good.
You're not allowed to meet me
and like blossom.
Okay. You might be doing good, but I need to be doing better.
I'm sick though because I want the attribution. Like I attribute to that.
You're not allowed to be happy till I'm happy. That's what most people are doing, right?
You, not me.
I'm not doing the stock thing. I've seen when it's happy because I'm Facebook friends with it. I'm on good terms with pretty much as far as I know, at least on my side.
Yeah.
But need
to double check.
If it pops up, that's what I'm saying. If it pops up, I'm like, whew, I dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
But he took that a step further. He now seeing her, it's like, oh, she tried to run away from me.
She's down bad.
She fucked up. So now he's laughing at it. I believe the laugh part was real.
3 years is a long time.
He's still
time.
Holding animosity towards her because you're not allowed to leave me. You're not allowed to leave me. So how dare you try to... And you cheat. You cheated on me. I'm hurt.
No, he was ready to kill her, he said.
I believe that part, too. And you know why? Because he was, that's why he laughed so hard.
I'm sick because I was telling this to my fiance last night. It was yesterday morning. I said, you know, I lock certain things up and stuff like that so that, you know, I ain't got to worry about you coming after me or nothing like that. Took her to the range, you know, wanted to see.
She was a little too accurate.
Well, I realized she can't pull it back.
No, her culture's more knives.
Yeah. Well, but even for her, she can't pull it back and load it, right? She can shove it in, You know what I mean? But if it was the pullback to go ahead and put it in the chamber, nah.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'm good in that regard. Like, you know, I got to watch out for every other weapon, you know, but these, you know, so hey, I'm good.
She can go, she can tally on to Walmart and get a smaller one. A little easier to, she don't need to cock back for that one.
Oh, man. All right, we're going to breeze through for a little bit.
Pea shooter. Happy 20th anniversary.
Yes.
To the Blueprint.
Oh.
And to Ghetto Fabulous.
That's
they
not
came out
going.
On the day. That the towers fell.
He definitely didn't want to use that for This Week in Hip Hop.
Nah, I just thought about it.
9/11 was yesterday.
It
so
was.
That's why I thought you said happy 20 years. Great transition. Just let me live with it.
I wouldn't say happy 20 years to that, but...
Well, yeah.
The good that came out of that was the Blueprint and Ghetto Fabulous.
So that's where... I'm not going with that good. I'm going to go with a little deeper good. Do you? I felt like I seen a headline, and this had me think about this, current events, right on time, hour and 5 minute mark. That was the last time we came together as a nation, which is crazy because we shit on Arabs during that time period, right?
Yeah.
For a long time. As a matter of fact, I was watching the Boondocks again last night, and and they were like, oh, please don't be Arab at the airport or whatever. And I'm like, fam, they just cross all kind of lines, man. You can't get that off in TV, like on TV anymore. But I felt like that was the time that we came together and there wasn't no thought of like, oh, you're a Bush supporter or you're a Clinton supporter
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, we got a few months.
No, it was longer than that. It was like a year or two where we were just a nation hurting. And I was sitting there thinking that maybe it will take something like that. Like George Floyd.
Dog.
Like George Floyd, that shock waves for empathizers and the people
so
that were actually
we're going to disagree on this.
No,
go ahead,
I know.
Go ahead,
I know.
Finish
that's
your point.
Fine. Yeah, George Floyd. But let something happen that hits across all cultures and then we'll finally come together
no.
again. Why
no.
not?
We are doing that right now.
No, we haven't had a
Dog,
we haven't had a threat like that in a long time.
This is a global pandemic.
It's different.
No, it's more people died.
It's completely
listen
different.
Listen to me. More people died just yesterday alone than died in all of 9/11.
It's an individual choice, though.
No,
that's the
dude,
only thing.
Dude. All right,
go ahead. I'll let you get your shit. I keep cutting you off. Go ahead.
9/11 affected America.
Right.
We came together as a nation. Hey, you know, and it's like, all right, yeah, fuck this, fuck that. We gonna get you, blah, blah, blah. We were all on board with that. And the reason that made sense is because the other side, as far as my other side, they're very pro-war. And so once the side that I usually agree with decides, oh, yeah, you know, we fired up, let's go do this, for at least the majority, then we can come together as a nation. Because we have a common enemy that's not American, blah, blah, blah.
Bam.
Okay.
Hold that.
Listen. Fast forward.
Common enemy is not COVID.
It's more common than anything else.
But it's not an enemy, per
it's
se.
It's not an enemy?
Come
is it
on,
not,
fam.
Is
we
it
talk
not
about
killing our people?
Yes.
It's not killing our people.
But we can't get retribution from it
listen,
only through
listen.
A vaccine.
No, because, no, listen.
Or better healthcare
let
practices.
Let me tie it back. Let me tie it back. Because there was a small niche population that was screaming conspiracy theory about the Twin Towers. It was an inside job. I heard stuff. I heard little cracks before the plane hit. This was all, you know, it shouldn't have came down, blah, blah, blah. I'm not here
I
to argue.
We figured out it was Al-Qaeda within a month.
I mean,
a week.
Okay, right. But in 2001, think about the technology. Think about the internet. Think about that. It's not like it is now. There's no Facebook. There's none of that. So it's like, okay, there's these people, things, conspiracy, whatever. It's Al-Qaeda. The news is saying it. Here's the science,
pray
blah, blah, blah.
Pray for Paris. I'm just
we
saying that.
We cannot do that now. We cannot. Because global pandemic pops up. We need to come together. We all need to stay in the house. We all need to do this. But then the Facebook posts, the misinformation, we're not listening to science. The conspiracy theory bag people, that little niche group is becoming a large chunk of the country, especially with this aspect. So if 9/11 happened again today, the nation would not come together like it did before.
That's your theory right now. My theory
is
it will.
That is true.
Bro, we had Pray for Paris. What wasn't Pray for Paris
no,
like a...
No, Pray
like,
for Paris was nothing like...
Bro, we was all putting it on... Not me, but people were all putting it in their Facebook thing and like coming together. Like
that's
the
not
U.S.
Coming,
support
nah,
was
that's
here.
Not coming together Damn, like that. No,
look,
that's coming together the same way we came together for George Floyd because certain people were coming together for George Floyd. It happened to be a bigger population than it might have been in the past, but... There was come together.
For George Floyd, right? Had it been a foreigner that killed him, on making a terrorist attack. And you know what? We'll make it different.
It wouldn't
if it was. If it wouldn't. I know. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Brown people kill black people and all vice versa every day.
If a white man was a part of it, though,
a white man
and an Asian man and a Latino man, we'll come together.
Fam, a white person had the knee on his neck. The Asian cop, his partner, was right there not doing nothing.
I'm trying to tell you, though.
I'm telling you, you're
let
wrong.
Let it be from overseas or outside of this border.
This will be the clip to post for the poll for your little Instagram people.
Yeah, I'm for your little. You better start respecting our listener base. Yo, what's up with you?
Respect the 950, the 950 of the week or whatever.
So what I'm saying is that, well, you know what I'm saying, but my point is that I feel that if we had something like that happen again.
I'm telling you, it wouldn't.
Because but the things, like the outliers that you're giving me, they don't align. Like, COVID's not a person. COVID's not a nation.
It's
not
a common enemy.
A nation that hates it. It's a common enemy, but people have an individual choice to combat it or not.
So on 9/11, I had an individual.
No, because it hits close to home.
I am a anti-war guy.
Yes.
I didn't want to go to
war.
So
you say, I don't know that for a fact.
I'm not the war guy. Okay. I'm a type, I can get real, like, hey, you know what? Me and Anthony had a big argument when he first got to the military, and I told him some random stuff, like, hey, you know what? I feel like if you cut the military budget in half, like, total 50% chop, that would be so much better for the Navy. We can put those resources into somewhere else and be good. And he didn't understand what I'm saying. He's being real because he's in pro-military. Like, what do you mean we're going to look weak? And all that little spiel. And I'm like, dog, our military is bigger than the next, like, 10 militaries put together. We cut it in half, we going to be straight. You know what I mean? But that's not the point. What was my point? My point was...
cutting the military budget in half.
Nah, but my... oh, I didn't want to go to... I'm an anti-war guy. And back then, I was like, all right, but certain things, you know, we got to defend ourselves. We were attacked... so let's go handle this process. In that process, a lot of bullshit happened, which I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should have never happened, whatever. But no, if it happened today, because at other current events, they're still popping out here. They're resurfacing and popping even more in Afghanistan. Something like that could happen again. And I bet you it wouldn't be the same. On the surface, it might appear the same, like you pray for Paris and George, whatever. It's not the same.
I agree to disagree.
Not the same.
You're saying because of technology.
I'm saying the spread of misinformation, the spread of the conspiracy theory people growing up and growing in population.
Difference was Osama bin Laden had a tape and he said, "I did it."
How many times have we seen a tape?
1-12-05.
Was there a tape? Rodney King had a tape too.
That's different.
How is it different?
It's completely different.
Fam.
We know the history of black struggle and the fact of, like, non-recognition from white people about that, right? Because they control the media. We don't see too many black networks and stuff like that. It's white people controlling that narrative, right? 100%. But let a white man, an Asian man, and a black man, and a Latino man die together and die in women, right? Die in a significant numbers. It will bring us together as a nation.
I just told you, yesterday alone, more people died from COVID in America than COVID is on TV all damn day.
Not telling you, hey, I'm here killing y'all off.
Yes.
No.
Yes, they are.
Figuratively.
Yeah. Hey, there's no ICU beds.
Figuratively.
Hey, there's no ICU beds. There's this many cases today. There's this many deaths today. They're telling you all day.
No, the media.
The media is who reported 9/11.
I need COVID on TV as a person saying, look, I'm out here winning.
All right, you got it.
I know I do. You talk about how you would people say, I know I got it on that one. You know what?
And drop the episode. It's not as egregious.
First of all, no disrespect to anyone that lost a family member in the 9/11 attacks.
Right, I'm trying to respect the never mind.
And rest in peace to those who did lose their lives, because I mean, when you look at it 20 years later, a lot of people, I looked at a story from a man, his name was, I don't even want to butcher his name. It was Italian though. It was a gentleman. And I guess a lot of photographers that worked around like in the New York area took a lot of photos at that time. And they were submitting them in. A lot of them won like Pulitzer Prize and stuff like that. And I hate to say that but at the same token, you know, some type of beauty came out of, you know, something that was ugly. But you know, the gentleman was 29 years old, right? And if you look at it in hindsight, you know, today he'd be around 51, you know what I mean? Or 50 years old. And so it's like, I think about what has happened and what has transpired over the last 20 years, you know, since those things have happened. Bro, I was in sixth grade when it happened.
Do you remember? I saw the second plane hit live. I was getting ready for school, and it was like hella early in the morning. And I was doing getting my half episode of Fresh Prince in before I had to get out, or Jamie Foxx or whatever was on at the time in syndication. And the news took over. And I'm not really understanding, because I was in seventh grade, maybe eighth. And I was probably just starting eighth grade if you were in sixth, because it was September. And, you know, not really, obviously at that age, I'm not really understanding the magnitude of what's happening. And then they're talking about it. And then while they're talking about it, boom, I was like, oh, shit. Like, it was, and that whole day at school, the teachers just had the TVs on all day. Didn't do shit all day. And yeah, like you're saying, it's like, oh, yeah, we're coming together. And you think it was for like a whole year or two or whatever? I don't think so. I think once we actually got over there, people started figuring out, oh, what we was really over there doing. People were like, oh, nah, same old shit. Same old shit. And your mans was running New York now. Look what happened to him in 20 years.
Oh, man. You know what? We ain't got enough time for it. We'll do Shit You Wasn't Outside For next week. So, three cheers. My three cheers was exactly what we just did. I just wanted to talk about it more in depth. Definitely want to give, you know, a shout out, you know, to those families affected that, you know, are still kind of, you know, dealing with that loss right now. Just know that we're here. We love you. And just keep on making it through.
Yeah, shout out to anybody who lost a loved one back then, who continue to lose loved people with our current crisis. I ain't letting that one go either. That's the same shit as Drake. You know what? Before I do my three cheers, not to step on your little sentiment or whatever.
Step on it.
No, because you said something nice. I'm going back to something you said a couple weeks ago about Drake being Michael Jackson. I know why you said that now, because he's telling you to say it.
He just said, he said recently.
I know, but recently. I was like, no, but you're saying it because he's telling you to say it.
I think I sent that to you too, huh?
I don't know. I heard it on the album. I was like, oh, this motherfucker's really out here.
He is.
No.
It's crazy to me that you moved the goalposts for like...
Who?
Who?
I never moved the goalposts in my life.
There ain't no owls in here. My man...
Neither is.
My man moved the goalposts...
You are the OVO
for
owl.
My nation attack, but then for Drake comparison, and then you change like, oh, well, the time's different than social media and all. Drake is fucking Michael Jackson of art.
No, what I'm saying is there can't be a Michael Jackson because the way shit is. Anyway, I'm not going to go any further on that part. Three cheers... First and foremost, to Michael K. Williams.
Yes.
I'm not going to, you know, I heard an informal, beautiful eulogy. I'm not going to try to even top anything like that or speak on it. But, you know, Omar, what I think is a top 10 character in all of TV of all time, amongst, you know, but just shout out to him and his family hurting. Respect to everything he did for the film industry, TV industry, his community work. And yeah, RIP to that. And my other shout out on a lighter note, shout out to Big Boy from Big Boy's Neighborhood, staple in LA, staple in LA radio, staple in radio period. He got himself a Hollywood star of fame. He was presented by the GOAT himself, Mr. Andre Young. And yeah, many more years to Big Boy. I like what he's doing. I listen to him, I mean, whenever the guest calls for it. But, yeah, I'm out. You good?
I'm good.
All right. Let's get the season kicked off right.
It's a great episode.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Oh yeah.
Hey. You know what it is. Black and yellow.
I'm out. Yeah. Y'all can sit here with Lex.
You know what it is. Everything I do, yeah,
here,
I do
baby.
It big. Yeah. Screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the lot.
Kick off in 5 minutes.
Black stripe, yellow paint. Them niggas scared of it, but them hoes ain't. Soon as I hit the club, look at them hoes' face. Hit the pedal once, make the floor shake. Sway inside, my engine roaring. It's the big boy, you know what I paid for it. And I got the pedal.
got another million.